This is Pure Decking, show number 346 for Thursday. The computer says it's April 25th, and we'll go with that. April 25th, I don't know, what is this, 1976? For the this is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and 3D printing body armor. I'm Morps, you know, to defend against your 3D printed guns. I'm Morps. Tonight I am drinking Bullet Bourbon Rye, and we have Mad Men. What's up, Mad Ben?
I'm drinking the original Bullet Bourbon. And can we make it 1974? I want to go back to the gold standard.
Sure, 1974.
And Led Zeppelin 4.
I don't actually pay attention to what year I'm saying anymore. Back in the early days of the show, I was actually going through and put the this day in history and trying to pick an interesting year to see if anybody ever put it together. Nobody ever did. So. Or if they did, they didn't tell me about it. But sure.
Oh, secretly, we're all playing the game behind your back. We just didn't want to let you know.
Okay.
But no one's feeding your ego anymore. Fuck off.
Fair enough. Yeah, I get that. I get that shit at work, too. So, anyways. Yeah. I do take a lot of shit at work anymore. Okay. Yeah, RU sent me the story where I thought we'd use for the discussion topic tonight. Some radonz.co.nz. Let me throw the link in the various chat rooms here. Should read out in the IRC tonight. We have some. We have Psychros, Rats, Iron Angel, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. I usually do that at the end of the show, but I thought we'd do it at the beginning this time. And. I'll try to keep an eye on that. I am working with a new monitor setup, so the IRC is actually a little bit more prominent in my vision. So we'll see. We'll see how that ends up working. Let's see. I'm thinking about adding a touchscreen monitor behind the keyboard too. So we'll see how that ends up working out. But like I said, I was going to be reworking my setup. But if I had the touchscreen monitor, that's going to take up some desk space, which may or may not work. Anyways. First of all, clicking this link is worth it just to see the look on this the New Zealand Prime Minister's face. It's like she has to fart or shit really bad, but she doesn't want to get up and leave the interview. So
the very confused horse.
You can use a
like, am I people? I'm not sure if I'm people. They seem to think I'm the leader of them.
I don't know. I thought it was very RBF for some reason.
Rats, I'm not referring to tablet-sized touchscreen. I've got a 15-incher that works really nicely with a few other devices, which is why I'm hesitant to set it up on my desk, is because I like using it for other things. But it would also be badass on the main rig. So, not that you can't use old tablets as touchscreens. You totally can. But anyways, let's see. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has announced that New Zealand and France will lead global efforts to try to end the use of social media to organize and promote terrorism.
So what I just heard is they're going to ban the Middle East from using Facebook.
No, I've just heard they're going to ban social
media. Terrorism.
It's like, people are terrible everywhere. In any sufficient population, there's always going to be somebody who's an asshole. So I just heard you're going to ban social media entirely. So, yeah. The announcement comes in the wake of the 15th of March Christchurch terror attacks. Ms. Ardern and French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron will lead a meeting in Paris on the 15th of May that will bring together other world leaders and tech companies. The March 15th terrorist attack saw social media used in an unprecedented way as a tool to promote an act of terrorism and hate. We are asking for a show of leadership to ensure social media cannot be used again the way it was used on March 15th terrorist attack, Miss Arden said. How? Fucking how, woman?
In order to live stream, you must register, have an account that's more than 3 years old, be fingerprinted, and have an explosive collar strapped to your neck.
Well, this
I'm down with that.
This is how you get the internet user's license. It's like, oh, you're on a general purpose PC? Well, you need 3 years of schooling and two sets of licenses and occasional home searches. Oh, you just want to consume media? You don't want to post? Yeah, here's your lockdown tablet. This contains everything you're allowed to do in your tracking device. If we discover that you've jailbroken or done an unauthorized action on this tablet, or God help you, looked at porn, we'll shoot your dog.
That was my neighbor's dog, sir.
Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide?
I know it's New Zealand, but they're blaming Australia, so that's the closest sound effect I have. So, it's like, seriously, she doesn't... And of course, this is the common refrain in politics, right? It's like, we're going to make sure that something happens. How? We'll pass a law. You know, it works real well for murder, doesn't it? Murder's been illegal for what? Since the founding of civilization? Oh, yep. Yeah, done a lot to stop that, hadn't it? It's like, yeah, we're going to make drugs illegal. Yeah, how's that working for you?
We're in the largest opioid epidemic the West has ever seen.
Something like that?
Crystal meth. I think. Some reason white people love crystal.
Yeah, we're going to make it illegal to cross the southern border of the United States. Oh, no, can't do that. Yeah, come on, guys. We're calling on the tech let's read it correctly. We're calling on the leaders of tech companies to join with us and help achieve our goal of eliminating violent extremism online at the Christchurch Summit in Paris. We all need to act, and that includes social media providers taking more responsibility for the content that is on their platforms and taking action so that violent extremist content cannot be published and shared. So that just means no user content, which means it's no longer a social media platform. It's
exactly.
Now editorial newspaper, which is actually what these governments want. They don't want users posting shit. What? The people's opinion? Fuck that. We want the elite talking to the elite through the media, and if anybody else is involved, fuck those bitches.
Yeah, they want to reclose the gates, but I'm sorry, once the gates are open, you ain't stopping it.
It so doesn't work that way.
You're going to police the Facebook, the Twitter, whatever other fucking Snapchat or whatever. There are a million other platforms out there.
Sure. The next one will get big. Everyone will move to it. It'll get filtered. The next one will get big. Everyone will move to it. You'll start seeing the decentralized stuff eventually take off. But
this was
Baby C's will come back.
That'd be cool.
That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. IRC is going to become huge again. It doesn't work. It never will work.
The internet was actually designed to route around damage, and it turns out censorship is considered damage.
Oh, it should. And hell, I don't care. Even if we go back to, you know, some dude printing a fucking leaflet in his garage every Friday and then handing it out at the Saturday markets, you know, that's still going to happen. You're not going to stop it.
Zines? You're going back to zines existing.
The zines in my local area have actually started popping up again. There's a punk rock one and a electro jazz one
nice.
Floating around. Yeah, they're really cool, and they're all sponsored by ads for local tradesmen and local bands.
See, I'm disappointed because a couple of zines have started popping back up in my area, but it's all corporate shit because it's people trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Of course...
Yeah, no, these are actual genuine ones with local artists and stuff like that.
You'd think I'd have
sporadic.
You would think we would have that since I'm, you know, fucking Nashville, right?
No, cost of printing has dropped.
Corporate.
Yeah, but that's Nashville. It is corporate now.
Mastodon. We've been talking about that for a bit, actually trying to use it.
I thought about setting up a G15 one, but then you guys talked me out of it.
That'd be cool if it went mainstream.
Let's see. It's crucial that technology platforms like Facebook are not perverted as a tool for terrorism. You haven't looked at Facebook lately, then, have you? and instead become a global solution to countering extremism. Yeah, in other words, Facebook has to drop whatever the fuck they want to do and do what we tell them to do. This meeting presents an opportunity for an act of unity between government and the tech companies. Have you not been paying attention? It's called lobbying.
That's an unholy alliance right there. No, that's shit. Like fucking LGBT hooking up with fucking Islam. Nothing good will come from that partnership.
Oh, no. Half of them will die. I'm not sure at this point which half.
Server rats. I was looking at doing an independent server so you could do the whole federated thing and actually host accounts. But let's see. Ms. Arden told the Morning Report that since the attacks, there have been a clear call for New Zealand to take on a leadership role in combating violent extremism online. Sure there has.
No, there hasn't. There hasn't been a call for New Zealand to take the leadership position in anything at any time in history. Ever.
I would just look at the Kiwi Farms response to New Zealand's big chest banging about how big and tough they are. Fuck off. You're a small nation that no one gives a flying fuck about.
Yeah, we all feel bad for the attack for about a hot minute, and then we move on with life.
Yeah, so yeah, fuck off.
I mean,
this is really strained relationships between Australians and New Zealands, man.
Well, like, you said they were trying to blame Australia for this somehow.
Well, they're blaming us for this and the church bombings. Don't know how we did that one.
Considering how compliant your government has been with the demands of this crowd, I'm really confused.
We're censoring our own country when nothing happened here. Because the dude who was clearly global hopping around the fucking world, just because he was born in Australia, there was nothing in his manifesto about being an Australian, white Australian first, and I'm doing this for the ethno-state. The dude was a crazy accelerationist. This is exactly what he wanted. He's getting it.
Well, he didn't kill himself either, which is rare for these kind of shootings. And the cops didn't kill him. So he's actually in custody alive. I think they threw him in a hole somewhere.
This guy is so fucking crazy, right? He thinks that in 5 years' time, they will let him out of prison and give him the Nobel Peace Prize for starting the revolution.
I don't see that happening.
No, he's fucking crazy. This guy is an absolute fucking nut job. He's a nut job that knew how to get the job done. Because everything he wanted, he's got.
So, let's continue with the quotes here, because there's a number of choice ones here. There's a role for New Zealand to play now in ensuring we eradicate that kind of activity from social media, in particular to prevent it from ever happening again. We can't do that alone. She is not familiar with what the concept of a live stream is.
You can't do it at all. These companies aren't in her country.
Well, here's my favorite one right here. This isn't about freedom of expression. This is about preventing violent extremism and terrorism online. Why don't you focus on preventing it in the real world? Who gives a fuck what happens online? Seriously, somebody says some shit to me in a chat room. All the time. I mean, you know, seriously. Oh no, he talked shit on Facebook. Wah. I mean, seriously. Of course, you guys remember how shocked I was in the early days where people getting arrested for posting shit on Twitter. It's like, it's fucking Twitter. Who cares? It's like he said he's talking shit on the internet. We've all been doing that. Come on.
No, I'm going to go, he's ballsier than Charles Manson, Zachros. Charles didn't actually kill anyone. This dude actually was pulling some triggers. He's ballsier than Charles.
I could do a whole hour on that New Zealand thing and not go over one same topic. Like, it's never been unpacked properly in mainstream media. They're just not interested in doing it. But if you actually unpack the whole thing,
The Daily Wire did an okay job unpacking it.
Yeah, they missed a few big points, and they missed some of the meme stuff in there.
He yells subscribe to PewDiePie at the beginning of the video. I mean, for fuck's sake.
But even the 7-point turn he does is in reference to bad female driving. Yeah, everything is done in that. That whole video is done for a purpose. Even the music choices.
Let's see. I don't think anyone would argue that the terrorist on the 15th of March had a right to live stream the murder of 50 people. And that's what this call is very specifically focused on. So again,
no, he had the right. He had the right to live stream it. He just didn't have the right to fucking kill people.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got the right to live stream all the time. Andy Worski did a fucking live stream, and he's probably going to go to prison now for 5 years for a felony assault, the deadly weapon.
And if you're right to live stream it, it's called documentation. It's called creation of evidence. Documentation of a crime. Yeah, let him live stream it.
If he didn't live stream it, what's the first thing the cops are going to do? They're going to look for fucking CCTV camera of the actual event. So if anything, he did him a favor. He didn't have the right to sell tickets to it.
Miss Arden said she's met with a number of tech CEOs, including Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, and held meetings with executives from Microsoft, Twitter, and Google. When we actually distill this down, no tech company, no country wants to see online platforms used to perpetuate violence, extremism, or terrorism. We all have a common starting point. It then comes down to what it is that we're each prepared to do about it. Well, it sounds like what you're prepared to do about it is tell the tech companies they have to spend billions of dollars in some kind of filtering platform that currently doesn't exist.
Anybody without cheating know what the Prime Minister of New Zealand was doing 3 years ago before she was the Prime Minister of New Zealand?
Bartender?
I want to say kindergarten teacher?
Festival DJ.
I don't have a good oonce sound clip. I'll have to add something to the soundboard at some
but
point.
That's the level of...
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that?
There's some oonce for you.
I think that's an illegal song in New Zealand now.
Fuck. But,
yeah, look, it's a stupid story. It's the reason I sent it to you. It's just going to hurt normies. You know what I mean? Anybody who's interested in finding stuff is going to find it. Like, I'm on the hunt today in the next 48 hours for another war dump area. Because my favorite dump got taken down last night. So, I'll be looking around for that. Facebook isn't going to be the main thing forever. Twitter is not going to be the main thing forever. They're going to live and die like everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, LiveJournal, MySpace, fucking America Online. I mean, these things, it happens.
Like, these are the biggest so far, but there's going to be something bigger.
And they're still going to have the problem of, if you allow live streaming, this is going to happen. If you don't allow live streaming, doors it on the cloud with a script saying post it this time, it still can get out.
Well, okay. Just as a fun example, we are live streaming our audio right now. I'm not relying on any major social media platform. You could start yelling random curse words, racial epithets, or reading Mein Kampf right now, and the only filter is whether or not I decide to kick you out of the channel. Right? If somebody wants to live stream themselves doing something horrible, they don't have to be on Facebook. They'll post the link to, the jankiest live stream site you've ever seen, and, it'll spread like wildfire anyway because everybody's going to rubberneck it. I mean, that's literally what happened is video went live and everyone rubbernecked it.
So I just thought of an unintended consequence here. Twitch is no longer a viable platform for anything. If they're just talking about streaming live violence, any video game that's streaming, gone. Can't stream it live. Because they're just going to make this the most widest net ever.
Oh, yeah.
In their wording. So there's some stuff going on over at Twitch right now where a certain demographic of users are going around flagging tit streamers just for shits and giggles. They're self-policing the rules. I think it's quite hilarious.
So I want to comment on this because Rats asked, are we doing this in Discord? Because he's right. If we were doing it in Discord, they could come in and kick somebody out for saying horrible things. It's in their TOS. I don't think
they actually do.
I run my own TeamSpeak server specifically for that reason.
For that reason. We really thought about this. When we set all this up, we wanted to be completely independent. And we've spent hundreds of hours making sure we are 100% independent. Even the music we play on the stream has full permissions from all the artists.
Oh, fuck. I don't know where I put all those letters, but we have them somewhere.
We have them, so. And if anyone did ask us to take it down,
we would
pull it down within the second. Wouldn't be an issue. But yeah, to answer your questions, man, we have no masters here. Even Morps, like, Morps may run everything, but we'll still tell him to fuck off. So, yeah, no masters.
I used to be able to kick ban him.
he has kick banned me off my own damn server till I shelled into it and then really made sure you couldn't connect. Oh, fuck.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, God, that took us a long time to figure out all the ins and outs of this shit, too. I suppose technically you should still go after where I'm running the streaming server from because I am paying for that independently, but you'd have to figure it out.
The only way they'd have to come after us like Storm Fags got taken down.
It would not be as easy as banning a YouTube channel or a Facebook page if they actually wanted to take G15 down. If they did take G15 down, I would actually be, well, not that impressed. A few people have the billing stuff, right? But the thing is that there's nothing actually illegal, and I specifically don't allow comments on the web page or anything. Like it's still technically a blogging engine that we're running as a CMS, but I very specifically early on decided I didn't want to deal with fucking comments. So yeah. That was one of the reasons. Like, you know, the IRC is on Freenode. I'm not running it. So if you shut that down, oh well, we'll move chat to something else. But it's not.
If you want to comment, go over to Reddit. Find it somewhere there.
Well, there's the Galaxy 15 Radio subreddit. I don't think it's very active anymore because I at one point we had some people who were posting the shows in there, but I think they got tired of us.
Yeah, I didn't even been there, man. I just know of it.
Yeah.
But
let's see. Next article. This is from the Washington Post. World health officials take a hard line on screen time for kids. The World Health Organization issued strict new guidelines Wednesday for one of the most anxiety-producing issues of the 21st century family life. How much should parents resort to videos and online games to entertain, educate, or simply distract their young children? The answer, according to the World Health Organization, is never for children in their first year of life and rarely in their second. Those aged 2 to 4, the International Health Agency said, should spend no more than an hour a day in front of a screen. Well, yeah, I mean, I saw that video of the dude dropping his phone on the newborn where he was trying to take the picture. I mean, that sounds pretty bad for the baby. So,
screen FaceTime.
Yeah, the
what
original FaceTime.
What happened to spending time with your children and teaching them shit?
No. You strap your children into modified camping equipment on your back so you can ignore them properly. And when you make noise, you hand them an iPad.
Yeah.
Modern parenting, or at least what I see of it around here.
The babysitter. Everyone remember and all hail to the babysitter.
Let's see. The WHO drew...
Microphone activated.
I hit a button. The WHO drew on emerging, but as of yet unsettled, science about the risks screens post... It's not the screens themselves. Risks.
It's that you're not socializing your children.
Screens pose to the development of young minds at a time when surveys show children are spending increasing amounts of time watching smartphones and other mobile devices. Hang on. Ugh. 95% of families with children under the age of 8 have smartphones. It's such a useless statistic. Why don't you say how many children under the age of 8 have smartphones? Why do you say per families with children under the age of 8 have a smartphone? It's like, if I have a kid, I'm not going to ditch my phone. I still need it for work. According to the nonprofit organization Common Sense Media, and about 42% of children under 8 have access to their own tablet device. That's a more useful statistic. It's like 42% of children under 8 have access to their own tablet device. I'm assuming that's just in the United States, or whatever their sample size was. Because, you know, maybe across the United States and Europe. Because you go to Africa, I imagine that number's not going to line up. Not because they're poor, just because there's not that many tablets over there.
Yeah, I'm betting that.
Oh, well, working tablets. I mean, I suppose if you count the broken ones, or where, you know, they're making the children tear them apart for the precious metals.
This show always conjures up great
imagery. 8 hours in front of that tablet.
I was waiting for it, Madman.
8 hours a day in front of tablets, getting gold and copper.
Fuck.
That might be technically correct. Oops.
Which is the best kind of correct.
But that kid's actually learning a useful skill.
Yeah.
Burning plastics and away, breathing in the fumes, and collecting heavy metals
and
with dangerous chemicals.
Terrible things that will shorten their life. Yeah. This is probably really, really good reason why I didn't have kids, because I've thought about this seriously. And
you'd have your kids tearing apart the tablets for precious metals, wouldn't you?
Maybe. Dude, I would say no video games or any shit like that till 10 years old. The only screen time you get is with documentaries or tearing apart old machines to see what they're all about. I would be the worst fucking parent. It would be 16 before you're allowed to be having a phone, and then it wouldn't be a smartphone. It would just be a brick.
I do think it would be an excellent idea if you're going to let your kids start out on systems, to make them start out on classic systems. NES, yeah. Commodore 64, Atari, ZX Spectrum, just depending on where you are. Because those systems required you to work a little bit to get anything done with them. Not a lot. C64 wasn't that hard. You just had to learn a little bit of basic syntax to load a game off the disc or the tape, right? But it was so close to the hardware that you could actually, you know, learn something with it, right? You could,
yeah.
I mean, fuck, you could do weird shit, like accidentally format discs larger than they actually were, fuck up the fat tables. You could do weird crap, you know, by writing your own shit in BASIC and getting the computer to spew fart, you know, every other line for an hour until your dad gets home and finds it and gives what the hell and turns it off. Plus, you could fix it by just turning the damn thing off. Turn it back on, it was fine most of the time. I mean, I suppose you could replicate that experience with like a Raspi, but not really, you know. I mean, a Raspi would be a good modern analog if you can't get your hands on a C64 or something, but I'd make them play with some of these old school games. Just to get a feel for what's really going on. Because when I worked at the school, I can't tell you how many kids would come in my office who didn't have clue one about how their systems actually worked. You know, everybody's, kids understand computer state. No, they fucking don't. They think they're magic genies in a box that, you know, have a little demon painting the screen behind them.
Also, too, Morps, the kids should spend most of the time outside fleeing from kidnappers.
Well, that's what the rest of the WHO article here says.
I don't know how big your zone of Rome was when you were growing up, but I think I rode, because we used to go to the wrecking yard, and that was a half-day journey there.
10
and then a
miles.
Couple hours. Yeah, it was quite a while on a push bike. But yeah, we were free-range kids, man.
Yeah,
my restriction growing up is I had to be home at dark.
Yep.
And if I knew the house of the kids I was going to, my parents knew where I supposedly was. But that ended up just being a chain of, they call there, they say, yeah, he was here, him and my kid went off to whatever, and we would be anywhere within 10 miles of our house. maybe 12.
Well, I mean, for fuck's sake, we'd take our bikes out and ride around in, well, it was called Hobo Woods. Madman, you remember?
God damn it.
Yes. I remember Hobo Woods.
They tore it all out. It's been cut down. It's gone now.
Wow. There's a reason it was called Hobo Woods.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It was before your time, but
you
there
didn't
was a
go
reason.
In there at night. You did exactly. not go in there at night. We knew a few people who went in there at night. It didn't end well. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing, man. So
this World Health Report must be pissing a lot of parents off.
It should. At those ages, it's children need to be interacted with. If you want them to be, children aren't born people. Children are born whiny, crying balls of need and want. You need to socialize them. The reason babies seem caring is you pat them on the back and you attempt to comfort them. And they realize, oh, this makes me feel good. This might make you feel good. Oh, I'm being sweet. Now give me food. If you don't socialize them, they're little sociopath monsters that will set cats on fire, screw dogs, and shoot people from high rises. So, from the age of birth to like 4, they don't need screen time. Yeah. They need mommy or daddy or both reading them stories, telling them stories, passing down their heritage, and possibly teaching them to fish and shit.
And exercise. Like, just playing with them.
You know, Madman, I know you were going in order of escalation there, but I kind of think fucking dogs is worse than shooting people from a high rise. I don't, just me.
I don't know. Were you referencing Mr. Medicare in one of his things on that, Madman, or am I just a sick fuck?
You're a sick fuck.
Thank you.
I do like what Rat said, though. If your kids do something bad to get grounded, make them play Ghosts and Goblins. That's awesome. That game was fucking brutal. One hit,
oh,
you're
yeah,
everywhere.
Exactly. Two hits, you're dead. Actually, no. Make them play that, but old arcade style. So every time you fucking lose, you got to put another 20 cents in. Or another dime. So it costs them. And the only way at a timeout is to beat the first level.
Experts in child development say the acquisition of language and social skills, typically by interacting with parents and others, are among the most important cognitive tasks of childhood. Achieving health for all means doing what is best for health right from the beginning of people's lives. WHO Director General Tedros, I didn't know they had an army, Director General of the WHO, they must have an army, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, brutalized that name, said in a statement, early childhood is a period of rapid development and a time when family lifestyle patterns can be adapted to boost health gains. The guidelines, like those of other public health groups that have weighed in such issues in recent years, also seeks to provide clear rules for the messy realities of parenting. When a fussy baby may be soothed most easily by a video of a nursery rhyme or a grandmother 3 states away may be able to engage with a toddler only over Skype. Well, now, wait a minute. The Skype thing, I think, is fine. You know, if you're FaceTiming or Skyping or whatever with family, grandparents and shit, I don't see a problem with that. They're still interacting with family. They're just doing it via, you know, remote. I don't see a problem with that one. This disjuncture means the strict rules sometimes generate more guilt than useful corrections in parenting decisions, according to pediatricians and researchers who have studied the issue. It induces a real conflict, said the University of Michigan pediatrician Ginny Radisky, author of Screen Time Guidelines for the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2016. The more guidelines we give, it just seems like there's going to be more of a mismatch between what experts say and what it feels like to be a parent in the real world every day. Radisky said Silicon Valley, which over the past year has introduced a number of tools to help parents limit children's screen time, could go further by improving these tools and designing services in ways less likely to encourage heavy use by children. That's the exact opposite of what they do for their business models. They intentionally make their shit addictive so more people use them. Children just happen to be the most susceptible to it.
This is kind of a parenting thing. This isn't a Zuckerberg fix it thing.
Yeah.
It's your kid. Hey, kid, let's go out to the garage. Let me teach you how to make a derby car. Oh, later on, I'll show you how to play Pac-Man.
If you're going to give your kid an iPad and they're like five, maybe sit with them and see what they're doing on the iPad. Maybe pay attention to what they're doing on the iPad, what they're watching on it. If nothing else, because iPads cost money and the child is likely to hurl it across the room when they see something they don't like on it.
Or don't treat it as the babysitter. Use the iPad as the storybook.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's pull up Alice in Wonderland, and I will read you a story.
Yeah. I think that kind of use of screen time with a kid's fine. I think the problem is when you plop the iPad with YouTube or a game or something in front of the kid and then walk away. Or I can't tell you how many restaurants I go out with different groups or, the work group at lunch or whatever, and you see these parents just handing iPads to their kids. Like, the kid's five, and they hand them an iPad to shut them up so that they're not sitting there tearing the restaurant apart. It's like, whatever happened to spanking your kid when they misbehave? Now you hand them an iPad to pacify them.
You either have other playing outings where there are other kids there, and the kids get to talk, and you just make sure they don't tear up the restaurant, or you bring the kid into the conversation. I've had conversations with people ranging from 6 to 80 around the same table.
Sure.
And it can be amazing. It can be amazingly hilarious or amazingly retarded or straight amazing, but there's many flavors of that that come out.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, the 6-year-old and the senile 87-year-old speak the same damn language. It's God's little joke on everybody else. And I'm like, are they both crazy? Because the kid's too young to get that flavor of crazy. Are they? Is the old dude being cured? Who cares? Pass the dressing.
It's simpler than
when
that.
It's when you lose that cognitive stuff and you just go back to your basics. That's why the kid and the old person have a lot in common.
Exactly.
The kid hasn't developed that spatial awareness, and the old person's lost that spatial awareness.
The kid's too naive to know that they should be polite and social and interact correctly. The old person doesn't give a fuck about being polite and social and interacting correctly, and it works out wonderfully.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone senile by my age now, because don't worry about him. This is crazy old Aryu. He's still a little bit racist. He doesn't know any better.
You're the crazy grandparents who talk about the blacks. Well, we all know where the rest of this goes. They blame the tech companies for making the things too addictive, but it's like that's kind of their market. And the rest of it is this hemming and hawing about how much time they spend on the screen. But, like I said, Madman's idea, use the iPad like a storybook. I don't, they talk about using Skype to talk to grandparents. I don't think that's a bad use of the tech. Let the kids see their family. Just make sure they actually see them in person at some point so they don't think they exist purely as a face in a box.
Have you seen that new thing they're pushing with, it's like Skype, but it's a dedicated tablet that follows you around the room?
And no, that
even
sounds
changes
creepy.
Angles? Yeah, they're starting to push that. Get ready for that to get pushed out around Christmas time as the new big thing with the OK Google and Amazon and all that.
Well, Amazon is pushing some desk, TV kind of thing that supposedly has like a camera and Alexa built into it and some kind of a Skype integration.
Yeah, no.
And it's just like, there was another article I was looking at, which I ended up deciding not to use for the show, but it basically said, throw your Alexa devices into the sea because they're terrible. Just constantly listening to you.
Over Easter time there, I was with the whole family and everything and multiple generations, and the oldest of the family was sitting there talking about the days of the telephone exchange, where these two twin sisters used to work on the telephone exchange and they knew everybody's shit.
Oh, well, yeah, because they were hearing every conversation because they were the ones actually, they were literally patching from, port A to port B with their headset.
Exactly.
Because
I made the argument that it's all tech is circular. And that's when they started talking about how that these two twin sisters were the most hated people in town because they knew everybody's shit. And I'm like, well, Amazon, Google. That's just exactly the same sisters. They just know all your shit now.
So yeah, but now it's instead of gossiping circular. About it and maybe laughing about it down in the church parking lot and embarrassing you at, you know, the mall, they're, you know, trying to target you with advertising. I saw you were talking about testicular cancer. Here, have a cream. Buy this cream. Buy this, you know, nutsack sling. Buy, I don't know what else you buy for testicular cancer, but, I mean.
Did party lines exist down under?
Yeah, they did. That's another thing they were talking about. It was shocking for a lot of the newest generation that shit actually existed. Like, what? Really? People could listen to your conversations? I'm like,
yeah, you'd have one line for 12 houses, and if you pick it up and someone's having a conversation, you're like, hey, dude, I just set myself on fire. can you two hang up so I can call 911?
Well, these people are this is important.
Yeah, these people were rural when they grew up, so out in the country. Those party lines or the phone would ring in 12 houses, things like that. You'd always hear the other person pick up if you were having a conversation.
Dude, talk about feeling old with old tech at work today. I had to explain what IRQ interrupts were and how you used to have to set them with jumpers.
And you see me talking about parking the heads.
You know, some of the younger techs were looking at me like I was fucking crazy. It's like, no, the CPU only had so many interrupts, and if you had two devices that wanted the same one, you had problems. And they're like, what's an interrupt? Oh my fucking God. How do you not know what an interrupt is? It's like, I don't know what it is. Don't you know how your processor works? What? So, yeah. CPU architecture. Maybe look it up once in a while, especially if you're programming. It drives me up the fucking wall. Developers who think they know code, but they don't have a fucking clue how the computer actually works. I'm not bitter.
Next story.
Not bitter at all.
Yeah.
This one's from spectrum.ieee.org. Cybersecurity job openings boom. Pool of U.S. job seekers shrink. Recruitment site Indeed has good news for cybersecurity professionals. Demand is booming around the world. After a relatively flat period between 2016 and 2017, 2018 saw job postings up 7% in the United States, 18% in Ireland, and 39% in India. Recently ranked as one of the least cybersecure countries in the world. Yeah, that's where they run the call centers from, so that's not really much of a surprise. Job seeker interest, as measured by the number of clicks on cybersecurity job listings, did not keep pace, except in Israel, one of the few countries to see a dip in job listings. England, France, Australia, and the Netherlands. In the United States, job seeker interest actually dipped 1.3% compared with the previous year. Indeed also looked at the highest paying cybersecurity jobs in the United States. Application security engineer came out on top with $128,128 ahead of director of information. The engineer making more than director. What the hell? Director of information security at $127,855. Pen testers, aka ethical hackers, earned an average of $114,431 annually. Oh, they've got senior security consultant on here. That's my job title. Fuck, I'm underpaid. Fuck, I am underpaid. What the hell? This is
sounds
the news
like
telling
you
me to ask
pull
for
up
a raise.
Indeed.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, senior security consultant. Yeah, I'm done. It's like, hey. So
there's more people getting tech jobs now.
Well, there's more tech jobs to be had, but not as many people applying for them, actually, at least in cybersecurity. That's the point of the article, which, at least in the States. Australia, it looked like there wasn't a dip. There were still people trying to get them. But, that's been a known thing for a while, that there just wasn't enough actual people interested in doing cybersecurity to meet the need. And the problem is that, to be honest, I love what I do, but it is a damned frustrating and thankless job.
And it's not as glamorous as it sounds.
Okay, you get the occasional rock star hacker who gets up there and, You know, they wrote Metasploit. They did this. They did that. You know, they're giving talks. They're, you know, well known. They're doing discovery, and that's great and that's awesome. But that's not your day job. Your day job is reading logs, telling other people in IT that they need to fix shit, and because you're constantly after them to fix things, everyone hates you. You are always at the top of the list of the first things that they're gonna, that the other teams are gonna ditch when they start getting down to crunch time.
And the worst part about it, when everything falls to shit, the buck stops with you.
Yeah, it really does. I have had to write multiple reports for my boss detailing what my involvement with various projects was, which usually meant I went to like one or two meetings and made a suggestion, right? Because then IT reports, oh, well, we had security involved in this project. So it's like, no, you invited me to one meeting. How many meetings have you had since that one I went to? Well, like 20. Well, then I haven't been involved. Well, yeah, but, you know, you were at one, so we can say we had security involved. You know, they play games and shit like that.
Exactly, man. So, it's the thankless, shitty job, and if you don't love it, don't fucking even get into it.
Yeah, because it gets frustrating and old really fucking quick, seeing the same shit day in and day out, the same games. It's like, you think I don't get it? I'm really fucking tired of telling sysadmins to go patch their boxes and telling developers to quit putting old-ass versions of Apache struts in programs. But that's what you spend 90% of your time doing. You get to do some research or, you know, some cool things in the after hours or maybe on your own. I thought I would start a podcast. Well, see how that turned out. But
but it was, this is like it most. Like when I first started talking to you, when we first met, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going back to school. I'm going to do this. And for about 2 years, I was super into it, like fucking around with things and going, yeah, yeah. And then you and I think it was Saad started talking about how fucking boring and frustrating it was. And by the third year, I went and did herpaderp wrangling, man. I want nothing to do with computers. I went totally the opposite. I went to work with the mentally unstable. It seems safer than working for you.
Well, that was because you thought I had anger issues.
Well, you do. We've just, you know, we've coped with that anger issue with alcohol. But, no, man, like listening to you and some of the other guys that do what you do totally turned me off the IT shit and the super badass idea of being a pen tester and things like that. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, the pen testing is fun. I did red teaming for years, right? But now, granted, this will date me a little bit. You'll see when I was doing my pen testing. But I got really fucking tired of getting into every goddamn system with MS-0867. It's like, root shell in your box. Yep, domain admin, game over. Here's your report. Next thing. Warps.
Get your walking stick out, Grandpa.
Yeah, they call me a senior consultant at work, right? So
gumming on that steak at lunchtime.
At least I'm having fucking steak.
Yeah, well, there's a point. But, yeah. I don't know how they're going to make the industry more attractive to the people that will be suited for it. Because you have to be a strong-willed individual to take that much hate and still not crumble every morning when you come to work. Like, fuck that.
Oh, fuck.
Well, knowing what you're getting into helps. I think one reason there may be a dip is, remember for a while so many people were graduating with tech degrees and not able to get a job because they were just importing people?
Yeah.
Oh, I think my internet's going fucky. Everybody's going
silent. It takes a bit for the labor market to adjust to that. It's like, oh, there are jobs again? Maybe some of the people with degrees will try to look for them again, or we'll just get a new crop of, we're now out, ready to go. Let's get some of these jobs that are, oh, not there anymore. Damn it. They imported some people from India.
Oh, my internet connection has gone all fucky.
Yep. It's pretty funky on the stream right now.
I'll bet. Because, yeah, there's nothing running. Let's see.
We're good now. It's come back.
Good.
It's come back.
And I think it's my ISP being shitty. It has been storming here, so they might be fucking with a line.
It's they fear the I Have Nothing show on Saturday night.
So, actually, Rats, you've got to be really fucking careful trying to do bug bounties. It's very rare that you ever get paid for them. Occasionally you do.
What was that one the dude actually got punched in the face? Remember that story a couple of months ago?
Yeah, it was
those bug bounty guys. They thought they were getting 80 grand.
Yeah, they're getting 80 grand because they sued them. But it was one of these things where they found an issue. I don't remember what company it was. They found the issue. They reported it. They said, oh, yeah, we'll get you paid through bug bounty. And they kept not fixing it and never paying the guys and stopped responding to their emails when they were trying to follow up on it and figure out what was happening. And so finally, they found out that they were going to be presenting at a tech conference. So they showed up, and the CFO punched them punched one of the guys in the face for what was going on. But usually what happens with bug bounties is they'll say, yeah, we knew about this. Sorry, we're not going to pay you. Even though they probably didn't.
And then
the
FBI shows up.
That's the other thing is half the time they press charges. They'll say, what were you doing hacking these systems? I was trying to collect the bug bounty. So you were hacking these systems. Yeah, that's an admission that you were hacking, right? So it's like, yeah, but they offered a bug bounty. I mean, so you get into this weird legal territory quickly.
And the next thing you say, well, can you produce the piece of paper that instructs you from the company to look into their systems? Because that's one thing you got to remember, man. You've got to have that permission slip from whoever's system you're lurking around in. Otherwise, committing telecommunications fraud.
If you're doing penetration testing, especially if you're doing physical penetration testing, get your fucking get-out-of-jail-free card. Get a letter. Get it signed. Keep it in your pocket. That way, when you're breaking into the building at night, you can show that you were hired to do this.
There's some fantastic talks at DerbyCon about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, there was a really good one about a guy who went to Manila to do one of the Hilton hotels. That was pretty good. Good talk.
Rats wants to know if I have any fun stories of doing physical penetration tests.
Not on air.
Them penetration tests?
As your legal counsel, you have been drinking, I would say not on air and not with a recording device running. Let's go to the next story. We'll hang around for 20 minutes after the show and we'll tell you some stories. Sorry, I had to go old Jiminy Cricket on your ass there.
But lockpicking is so easy.
Shut up.
Half the time you don't bother picking the lock. You just take a card and shim the door.
Bump keys. I love bump keys. Learning about them. You're not locking the door again afterwards.
Off air and not recorded. Remember? This is how we stay out of prison. This is our 5-point plan.
I will say, I've never crawled through a drop ceiling. I'm too fat.
I can't say that. I can't say I've never been officially hired.
Now, I have identified several places where if I was a more nimble, smaller man, I could go through the drop ceiling. Unfortunately, I have a bit of an alcohol gut because I said I'm interested in information security, and they said, here's your information security badge, here's your alcoholism. So, you know. Next article, it's from Engadget. The NSA says it's time to drop its massive phone surveillance system. Let's see.
They say that, but they're not going to. Yeah, FISA courts are a bad idea, but they're not going away anytime soon.
Actually, I was thinking their noise-to-signal ratio is probably so fucking low it doesn't matter anymore. Let's see. National Security Agency has formally recommended that the White House drop the phone surveillance program that collects information about millions of U.S. phone calls and text messages. The Wall Street Journal reports that people familiar with the matter say the logistical and legal burdens of maintaining the program outweigh any intelligence benefits it brings. Well, how are you going to blackmail senators if you don't keep this up? The surveillance program began in the aftermath of September 11th attack in 2001. It collected billions of records per day, allegedly in the hunt for links to terrorism. However, after former intelligence contractor Edward Snowden leaked details of the program in 2013, Congress passed the USA Freedom Act in 2015, calling for a pared-down version that collected a few hundred million per year to be retained by telephone companies. Earlier this year, Republican Congressional National Security Advisor Luke Murray revealed that due to compliance and technical issues, the NSA hasn't even been using the system for the previous 6 months, calling into question the NSA's previous insistence that such data collection is vital to national security. It appears that a number of senior intelligence officials are now of the opinion that the program provides limited value, with the Wall Street Journal quoting one individual saying the candle is not worth the flame. That's a nice quote. I like that. The candle is not... I'm going to steal that and use that shit at work, probably. However, it is the White House that will have the final say on the matter, and it hasn't made a decision as to whether it will push for legislation to renew the surveillance program. Other lawmakers, meanwhile, remain committed to the scheme. In a recent interview, Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, the Republican chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said, "If we have technical problems or challenges that the NSA has to take into account, that's okay. It's not something we easily shelve." I don't know. I'm betting their signal-to-noise ratio, and that's pretty fucking bad. Or, like you guys said, they're gonna say, "Oh yeah, we shut that down." No, we didn't.
No, that just becomes a consultancy off the books thing.
No, we're not listening to your calls. We're paying Raytheon to do that.
That's how it works.
Is Raytheon one of the right companies for that? That joke may not work.
I have no idea. It sounds like a big evil corp.
It is. I'm just not sure if it's the right kind of big evil corp.
Eh. We'll just wiggle a bit of CNN on that. All done.
Oh, rats. There'll be people almost old enough to drink that don't remember what life was like prior to Homeland Security existing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Those people will be able to vote.
Don't think about it, Madman. It makes me drink. And that's too early for me to drink.
Oh, I've got bourbon, though. I can handle these thoughts.
My mic came off. I threw up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next article is from the Duo.com Decipher blog. Users who hate having to change their Windows passwords every 60 days can rejoice. Microsoft now agrees that there is no point to force password changes and will be removing that recommendation from its security requirements. Microsoft dropped the password expiration policy in the latest draft version of the security configuration baseline settings for Windows 10 and Windows Server, calling the practice an ancient and obsolete mitigation of a very low value. According to the draft document, Microsoft will no longer recommend that accounts controlled by the network's group policy have a policy that requires users to change their passwords periodically. Microsoft is finally telling Windows administrators there are better ways to protect systems and networks than forcing users to pick new passwords every few days or months. Excuse me. We are talking here only about removing password expiration policies. We are not proposing changing the requirements for minimum password length, history, or complexity, wrote Aaron Margosis, a principal consultant with the Microsoft Public Sector Services. Microsoft had the baseline to prompt users to change the password every 60 days, down from the original 90, and Margosis wondered whether the time interval made sense. Password expiration policies protect enterprises only in situations where passwords or password hashes are stolen and can be used to gain unauthorized access into the network, Margosis said. That means the interval was too long, since if the password hash was stolen, the administrator would want the user to change it immediately and not wait for the password to expire. Making the interval shorter to force password changes more frequently would introduce more problems, since users tended to make small and predictable alterations to their existing password, i.e. password 1, password 2, password 3, making them guessable. And if it wasn't stolen, then it needed to be changed. And if it wasn't stolen, it doesn't need to be changed at all. Further, if your users are the kind who are willing to answer surveys in the parking lot that in exchange for a candy bar for their passwords, no password expiration policy will help you. I hadn't thought about the candy bar scenario. Can we get some Girl Scouts in on this?
That's pretty good. I never thought about using Girl Scouts for pen testing. That's fucking hilarious.
Get a troop of Girl Scouts, say they're working on their cybersecurity badge, because that's a fucking thing, and sit there and hand out candy bars for passwords.
Wow, using underage girls as honeypots. That just, wow. That's a level of nope.
Damn, we went dark again. We've gone dark in like every show the past month. Fuck.
Hey, I wasn't thinking honeypots. I was thinking, cookies.
Hey, shit, I'm just taking it to a logical conclusion here.
I specifically did not include any pedophilia stories this week. Because we kept hitting those, and I was feeling sad about it.
I'd apologize, but I'm not sorry.
No reason to be sorry. It's just here we are. Candy bar for their passwords. I love it. That's a great idea.
The only one you're going to get like that is Boogie.
Microsoft's policy change is in line with NIST, which removed references to periodic password changes in its password guidance back in 2017, which I believe we also talked about. An attacker who already knows the user's password is likely to be able to guess the user's next password. Former Trade Commission chief technologist Lori Craner wrote in 2016. The document provides security templates that organizations can use to limit certain features and protect and services to protect Windows systems and networks from attack. The baseline provides administrators with a solid security foundation, but they should not be considered a complete security strategy, Margosa said. Administrators still need to consider other layers of protection to make sure their networks are protected. The rest of the article basically goes on because it's Duo saying how you need multi-factor authentication and Azure supports this. And, of course, they actually don't mention Duo specifically, which is amazing for a company blog. But, they go on talking about how you really need multi-factor and, you know, you could probably switch over to Azure and make it a lot easier on yourself. Which, actually, you know, I've been doing Office 365 work lately and it's a hell of a lot better than it used to be. It's actually not that bad of a way to operate anymore. And Microsoft is making a real push to try to get companies on Office 365 and not on-prem AD and Exchange servers. And they're actually starting to make a really good argument for that. I think partly it's because they haven't actually done much development in the terms of on-prem Active Directory and Exchange in years. It's just been maintenance at this point. But, seriously, they are starting to make a good argument for it. Now, I don't know that you want to run your Fortune 500 that way, but if you've got a startup or a small, you know, office, couple hundred users, I could totally see running that way. You're still going to need on-prem servers and shit for authentication and things, but, I could see having Azure be the primary. And moving on, because obviously there's nothing else to talk about. Using the Girl Scouts as honeypots. So.
No, I'm just thinking it wrapped itself up pretty easy. Like Microsoft dropping their password thing, that's fine. Wouldn't do it in a corporate setting, but for a home use.
No, that's what they're saying is in the corporate setting.
Oh, then they're fucking idiots.
So they're not.
I hate resetting my fucking password. Oh, they're not. 5 days and I get to do it.
The idea is, as opposed to just having it timed, you should be running monitoring and multi-factor and other forms so that if you suspect a user's password is stolen, you immediately reset it. Or you have systems that just, as part of the automated response to seeing like password hashes go out the door or something, you just reset everyone's password who got compromised.
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
I mean, it's not.
But you got to be on point with your network.
Yeah, you got to have the actual infrastructure to support doing that. Which today you can actually do. You know, back in the early 90s where this whole password rotation thing started, it might have been in the 80s, actually. I'm trying to remember if Unix systems used to do that. The old school, like, SCO and shit.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember. I was all hobbyist at that point in time. Well, hobbyist.
Yeah, it was before my time.
So, fuck, I don't know. Anyways.
Either way, moving along. It was pretty wrapped up.
Last article is from CNET. It seems there's no such thing as a free show. Security researchers from the Digital Citizens Alliance and Dark Wolf Consulting looked into 6 streaming devices that offer free shows through pirated apps. and found nearly half of them were packed with malware. So they're talking about like those Roku, or not Roku, but the Kodi boxes that they were selling online, where you could go buy. Yeah. They gave you all the free TV shows. Now they're saying they're full of malware. So I'm doing this article for, it could go either way. So we'll see here. While you may have bought a bona fide Apple TV or Roku to watch shows on Netflix or Hulu, there's an entire market online for jailbroken and modified devices that are tuned to watch the same content for free. They come at a much cheaper price and offer free unlimited access to shows you normally have to pay a subscription fee for. These devices work just like a Roku or a Fire TV stick. You plug it into your TV and connect your Wi-Fi network. In some cases, they're loaded with apps. If the hardware isn't laced with malware, the apps are, Timberwolf, a principal at Dark Wolf Consulting, found with his research. You know, if he didn't have E on the end of Wolf there, I might think he was a furry. Timberwolf, Dark Wolf Consulting, really?
Yeah.
Not making fun of your name, but I'm kind of making fun of your name. he said 40% of the apps these devices were infected with malware that can take over a camera or microphone on the network within the first hour. As viewers move to streaming devices to watch shows like Apple TVs, Roku's, Chromecast, and Fire TVs, black market sellers have capitalized on cord cutters by offering pirated alternatives. Cyber criminals have taken notice by targeting these bootleg boxes with malware, researchers found. On April the 8th, the FCC issued an enforcement advisory warning that they were fining up to $19,639 per day for people selling these illegal streaming boxes. How do you come up with that number? $19,639. Like, would it have killed you to round it up to $20,000 or down to $19,000? I mean, really? For selling these illegal streaming boxes. While they aren't in stores, you can find them on popular sites like eBay, Craigslist, and the Facebook Marketplace. They're also sold at flea markets and malls for about $75 to $100. People are enticed to buy them because they promise to free streams on sports, live TV shows, and new movies. 12 million active users, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, they're saying they're full of malware and they can infect your other devices. Now, that said, anytime you're buying sketchy hardware, that's always a concern, right? Is the thing is full of malware. But I'm wondering how much of this is a scare tactic, because a few months ago they were losing their shit over people selling these pirated boxes, actually arresting people in England.
This is a paid-for scare ad.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is that this might have been a paid-for
story. Really, but at the end of the day, if you're buying the sketchy tech, you should actually know something about tech, so therefore the malware and shit shouldn't fucking scare you.
Or, you know, get you a decent Raspi and set it up yourself. It's not that fucking hard.
Yeah,
or fucking get an easy, Apple man. TV or a Roku and hack it yourself. Again, you can find lots of information on how to do this. It's not that hard, and you'll probably have a cleaner system. So, anyways. Yeah, I'm wondering how much of this is scare tactic. But that said, I'm certain a lot of them probably do have malware on them.
On
a scare tactic, and I think some businesses have found a more legit way around it. I bought a Blu-ray DVD player, comes preloaded with some legit streaming sites. I throw ad block on it, and I can now watch the stuff without the ads, which is how they were going to make their money.
There you go.
Yeah, well played, Madman. Well played.
Speaking of, let's move on to this. All right, I've got one article for us tonight in Digital Dojo. This is from a blog called The Pass-Through Post. And this is a write-up. This is actually pretty interesting. This is a write-up on how to set up one of the newer versions of QEMU, which is a virtualization platform. It's like VMware Virtual PC, but this one's an open source one. And it's the most commonly used one on Linux, because you would set it up along with KVM. And like, you would see YouTube videos where people were setting up multiple versions of, like, lots of workstations running off one system kind of shit. Like, I think Linus Tech Tips did that. This one is where the QEMU's added support to emulate a specific version of an Intel chipset. It happens to be a chipset that's used on Macs. So hackintoshing, which used to be kind of a game of getting the right hardware and hoping for the best, actually just got a lot easier because you can set up a QEMU VM with a Hackintosh, pass through a decent graphics card, and you've got a Hackintosh that works pretty well as a virtual machine. Or if you happen to have a machine that only has one graphics card, but you don't really care to use Linux and you're really just trying to Hackintosh, you could set it up to do a virtual machine pass-through of the only graphics card in your system, just script it all to do it at boot, so that the first thing it does is boot Linux and then pass on to the, you know, start up the virtual machine, right?
Yeah.
And now you've got a Hackintosh on a system. Also, that in itself is interesting, but the idea here is you could apply this to some other things. So like if you run, say, Cubes, if you've ever used that one, which uses QEMU in the background, and you split up all these virtual machines. It's actually, Cubes is actually a lot of fun to play with, but it's an absolute bitch to use on a daily basis. I tried for about a week to use it on my laptop before I finally got frustrated and said there are better ways to accomplish this stuff. Because it does really lock down some basics. But, I mean, if you need a secured system for hardening, like a hardened operating system for doing things, Cubes is an excellent solution. And this opens up this possibility to including Mac inside of that. I've seen a few different videos about doing the graphics card pass-through. I actually don't have a machine right now that I've been able to experiment with that with that particular setup on, so I don't know how well it works. But I have done it in the past on previous builds, and it does work, and it's interesting. But because you have to pass through a graphics card and run a separate monitor, keyboard, and mouse, it feels like just having two computers on your desk. And there are ways around that. You can use Synergy or a KVM switch or something to make it less silly. But if you don't care to do the graphics card pass through just because you need to run, say, a specific piece of software. I actually had another link, and I need to find it. Try using integrated graphics to the main system. What integrated graphics? My main builds are Ryzen boxes. They don't have integrated graphics. Oh, one of them does, but it's the only graphics in the system because it doesn't have any PCI slots. It's a micro build. It's an ASRock Deskmate. Just doesn't have... only certain Ryzen chips have Vega, and yeah, that Mini ATX doesn't have a PCI slot, so it does run it is running Kubuntu at the moment though, so if that but it's there's nowhere to put a graphics card on it, no Thunderbolt because it's AMD, so I can't, you know, like put an external sled or something on it, although it has a couple of MPCIe slots, one of them is a Wi-Fi card in right now. I could probably rejigger it and get a PCI slot out of it that way, but yeah, I would have to really rearrange hardware if I wanted to do that, and I need my machines working right now, so I'm not going to tear everything apart at the moment to test it out. But I do like the idea, and I may try on some of my laptops to see if I can have it actually pass off the only graphics card to virtual machines, because there are some real benefits to running your main OS in a virtual machine. I'm thinking manually snapshotting and running a firewall in the host OS. So that you've actually got a proper, you know, quote unquote hardware firewall with you at all times, or like a DNS sinkhole and shit like that. So I can think of some really good reasons to do that, but it's kind of esoteric, and explaining it to somebody who's not into tech would be painful. So, but anyways, there's that. I liked the write up. I thought it was interesting because he was Hackintoshing. And I've got another link somewhere of how to get OS X downloaded without actually having a Mac. But I don't have that link handy, so I'm not going to throw it in the show notes, but it is out there. It's a Python script that somebody wrote to pretend to be a Mac in recovery mode, and it'll actually download the OS so you don't actually have to buy a Mac. But, of course, at that point, you're doing pure piracy, right? Because OS X is technically free, but you're supposed to buy a Mac that can run it. That's like the EULA, is that you're only supposed to run it on the appropriate hardware. So, yes, you could torrent the ISO if you're up for getting a pre-owned system. Most operating system ISOs I've seen on that's not entirely true. A lot of times when you get the pirated ISOs, especially the ones where they've already modified it for you, they tend to have malware in them. But That, to be fair, the last time I downloaded a Windows Server off of a Windows Server ISO off of a it wasn't a torrent site. It was a data dump page, but it was not malwared up, and I was actually kind of disappointed. I wanted to see what kind of horrible shit was in there, and it was just a plain old Windows ISO. But since you can get those from Microsoft easy nowadays, there's no real point. So, but yeah, that's just about trusting your sources of software, a little bit of operational security. If you're grabbing random pirated shit and installing it on your box, you're occasionally going to get pwned, and you kind of deserve what you get, right? So, but anyways, I just thought this was cool and that it's taking advantage of the open source virtualization to let you, you know, run operating systems you're really not supposed to. So,
nice.
Yeah. That's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, the IRC. We read it out at the beginning, but we'll do it again in the IRC tonight. We have myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, Rats, Iron Angel, and Madman. And Madman, closing thoughts.
I don't have any. I have nothing.
No,
which
that's
will
Saturday.
Also be airing Saturday, I think.
Good man.
Well, I'm not. That's why I'm not making the future news joke. Because you guys are going to do that on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I think I might bring future news back. I haven't decided yet. This is a well-scripted, worked-out show coming up. In other words, I'm just going to wing it. We'll start the show at 9 o'clock and see how it goes at 10.
Sounds right. So, do you have any other closing thoughts, are you?
No, I mean, I'm pretty good. If you want to...
No, this... One Punch Man. You usually do an anime review at this time. Memory...
Yeah, I watched it. It was okay. I got to episode 5. It's not for me. And then... Cobra Kai season 2 just dropped as well. Halfway through that. It's worth a look. Watch season 1 as well.
So actually, that's a good question. Rats is asking about Australian time or the time we do the station on.
The time we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So whatever time we started the show today, yeah, nothing's ever Australian time, man. It's always American time. But yeah, same time, just Saturday night. A lot more alcohol, a hell of a lot more vulgar.
Psychros wants to know where he can send links for absurd news for IHN. Oh, that's a good point. No, you got.
I haven't set any of that up yet.
Damn it! I need to set up an email address.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. And considering I'm absolutely useless with email, as in I don't never check it, it'll probably be something Madman could do for me.
I'll think about setting up a burner email address or something.
Yeah, and if you guys want to stop the recorder and have a chat about some crazy stories, as long as it's not being recorded, I'm down for that. The Walmart story is a good one.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's close out the sounds here then. So let me play this.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Tauntauns.
You
Mr.
are,
President.
Alex.
I hit the button. Why is it not stopping?